And as always, we start your week off with a look at the news you can use this week. And joining us, Marcus Mabry, editor-at-large at the International Herald Tribune, which is the international edition of our partner, the New York Times, and Charlie Herman, economics editor for The Takeaway and our co-producer, WNYC Radio. Thanks for joining us, guys.
Good morning.
Morning.
Marcus, let's start in Colombia, shall we? The president has returned, but I don't think the talk about the trip down there is going to end anytime soon. Of course, the story being that 11 Secret Service agents are accused of bringing prostitutes back to their hotel in Cartagena. That happened before the president arrived. He was there for a summit. The entire unit was replaced on Friday, and here's Obama reacting.
What happened here in Colombia is being investigated by the director of the Secret Service. I expect that investigation to be thorough, and I expect it to be rigorous. If it turns out that some of the allegations that have been made in the press are confirmed, then, of course, I'll be angry.
Does this become a campaign issue, Marcus?
Well, Celeste, yeah, definitely it does. It already has become one. The saddest thing about all this, despite the details of the allegations, which are of them, in and of themselves, of course, very sad, is the fact that whenever something like this happens, it besmirches some incredibly dedicated and hardworking men and women, and that's what's going to happen to the Secret Service, unfortunately. I know Secret Service people, and they're some of the finest civil servants we have. They're incredibly courageous people, and now, because of these allegations, if they do turn out to be true, they will be besmirched in kind of the worst possible ways, and that's just it's heartrending. As you said, it will be a political issue. It is a political issue. It's unfortunately, this won't be the worst of our politics this campaign season, but it'll be an example where anything that happens on any side, no matter how distant or close it is actually related to a candidate for the presidency, will be blown up into a massive issue that is meant to reflect on that candidate, whether it actually reflects on the candidate or not.
Well, let's talk about something that's perhaps a little more closely related to the White House, and that's the economy. Charlie, we're going to get our first quarter earnings from a number of banks and corporations this week. What are we expecting?
Well, I mean, the news so far has been a little mixed. I mean, it started off last week pretty good. We had a lot of companies give some good information about their sales, and the very first one, Alcoa, did better than expected.
Right.
Then you had J.P. Morgan and Wells Fargo's, two of the top banks, you know, really duking it out to be number one, give better than expected results. But the issue there was that some of those results were inflated, if you want to say, because they didn't put as much money aside to cover future losses because things are starting to look a little better. So it was a question of, were they really generating more revenues and more profits, or was it just the fact that we don't have to put this money over here in case of future problems? And in fact, their stocks didn't do that well immediately afterwards. So this week we get Goldman Sachs, Citigroup, Bank of America, Morgan Stanley, all the rest of the really big banks. And that'll really give us a sense of, you know, how the financial sector is doing. Because as we've seen, how the financial companies do oftentimes will dictate where the economy is going. So a lot of attention will be focused on what they're saying. Are people paying back their credit cards? How are mortgages doing?
All right. Well, that's what people are really focused on domestically, at least. Overseas, lots of eyes focused on Syria at this point. The United Nations military observers arrived in Damascus yesterday. They're supposed to be observing a ceasefire, but that ceasefire is only 4 days old. And we're told that forces loyal to the president, Assad, started shelling the rebels in Homs yesterday. Marcus, what's going on with this UN mission?
Well, it's a tricky mission, obviously. These missions always are. What's difficult here is, number one, of course, the ceasefire is not ironclad. Now, that's not exceptional. That's almost in every conflict we have that. They may still be able to enforce some kind of a tenuous peace, as tenuous as it is. The larger issue, and this is somewhat sad and ironic, is despite the fact that the ceasefire, of course, is a good thing because you at least slow the killing and the massacres that have been happening and the killing, even the killing on both sides. However, what you also do in a ceasefire is you kind of freeze in place the current leadership. Now, one can say eventually that there'll be negotiations and multi-party system, et cetera, et cetera. That may or may not happen. But what is certain is you do freeze in place the regime of President Assad. And that's a victory for Assad, somewhat ironically, that comes with a ceasefire.
And this is what observers are saying. I mean, opposition forces are saying is the problem is that although you may get a ceasefire, which is a good thing, the essential point that started this entire thing in the beginning will still be left unresolved.
That's exactly right. And again, one can say that's meant to be dealt with in political negotiations between the opposition and the government afterwards. But whether or not that will ever come to pass is uncertain. We do know that we freeze in place what we call facts on the ground when we do these kinds of ceasefires. And that's a great danger. And the opposition is right in that regard. President Assad has very little to lose as long as he stays in power.
All right. Well, let's go back to you, Charlie, because obviously people talking about Europe yet again. It's Monday. Time to talk about Europe, right?
Well, it strikes me a little bit like this is groundhog in the sense of like the last 2 years, we've started off the year really well. We've seen some good numbers, people optimistic about where the economy is going. And then something happens, whether it's Europe 2 years in a row and then Japan last year.
Comparing Europe to Punxsutawney Phil?
Maybe it is a little bit seeing its shadow, or at least investors and others are seeing a shadow and they are worried. So last week you had sort of Europe pop back into people's mind frame again,
right?
Because we started seeing this rising cost to for borrowing for Spain's debt, and there will be some more auctions this week for Spain. So Greece wasn't taking the headlines; it was Spain, and of course, when you start talking about Spain, you start talking about Italy. So this is a worry: is Europe sort of back in the problem zone again? And if it is, then what does that mean for the U.S. economy? There's some people who are a little more optimistic or hopeful that with some of the things that have been put in place, and also with stronger consumer confidence in the U.S., that the two won't collide and we won't have another downturn as we saw the last 2 years. But again, it's really hard to tell. Gas prices seem to be stabilizing, which is a good thing. But if those continue to rise, if Europe were to continue to have more problems, then we could be back in another 6 weeks of or 6 months of bad economic conditions.
Great.
It's funny the best things you guys are hoping for over in the U.S. about Europe is that we've actually decoupled and what happens in Europe doesn't matter in America.
Well, it's got to get to that point. I'm sure that President Obama would prefer that because, you know, what happens over in Europe is going to definitely affect what happens here. If the economy turns really down there, it definitely will have some sort of impact here. So yes, if we can decouple, that'd be great for our economy. staying away from the politics.
Saying that for 230 years in the United States. Yeah,
well, Marcus, I assume that's not the ideal solution there. That you guys don't compare yourselves to the groundhog.
The big problem in Europe is that they need structural reform in these countries, and structural reform is not popular politically in the streets.
All right, Marcus Mabry, editor-at-large of the International Herald Tribune, which is the international edition of the New York Times, and Charlie Herman, economics editor for The Takeaway and our co-producer, WNYC Radio, the only man to compare the Eurozone to a groundhog. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.